Well, thank God that we're together again around God's Word on this Sunday evening as we huddle together. I know our circumstances are kind of different, and our services are by the way of live stream. Now, I want to ask the church family and all my friends, would you do this for me? As we're getting in the service, share this message. The message I'll be preaching tonight is very timely. It will help you. It'll also show you what the big picture, what's going on. And I want to assure you that God is in control. I want to assure you that he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Now, in your Bible today, I want you to turn to Malachi chapter number 1 this evening. Malachi chapter number 1. I am going to read the first 7 verses. Then I am going to jump down to verse number 11, which will be our text and our thought. And we'll bring a message that's burdened my heart. I want God's blessings. I want God to shine on us. I want God to be with us. But I want to tell you what, he'll honor them that honors him, and he'll curse them that curse him. And we need to realize that so we can get our mind stayed on God, so we can have real revival during these dark days. Look at Malachi chapter number 1. The Bible said, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I'll tell you, I'm burdened. I am burdened that we may miss a great opportunity during these hard times to be a testimony. That people will see us go through this trial triumphantly and not as some people who feel like they're losers. We're not losers today, ladies and gentlemen. I read the back of the book. The devil's going to hell and we're going to heaven. We're on the winning side. Verse 2 said, I loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I want to say something about Esau just as we're getting into this message. Esau represents the flesh. He sold out for a bowl of beans. Sold his birthright. There's a lot of people selling out today. I want you to know something. We need to stay for God. We need not to follow the flesh, but we need to follow God. In this chapter, it talks about weariness. I see such a weariness. Right now, there's some of you in the church. You've had just a few weeks of this, dealing with this virus. And you're already weary. You're already ready to give up. Some of you thought about quitting tithing. Some of you thought about giving up on God. I want you to know something. We need to stay for God. See, God was getting ready to turn the lights out. Let me read a few more verses. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness. And the Lord and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. On your eyes shall see. And ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Notice these verses. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. And if then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye have offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? in that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Let me read verse 8 also. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now jump down to verse number 11, if you would. Verse number 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me give you the setting. God is getting ready to turn the lights out on Israel. He's getting ready to be absent from them for 400 years. He's getting ready to remove himself. They were going to lose their glory. They were going to lose their influence. That's exactly where we are today. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen, even through these dark times, even through what we are going through now, we need to give God the glory. We need to give God the praise. We need to lift him up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. This crowd knew the supernatural power of God and the presence of God. Amen. He's the God that came to them at nighttime with a pillar of fire. He's the God that came to them during the day in a pillar of cloud. That cloud and that fire represents the Holy Ghost of God. God's Spirit is with us. God is with us. Somebody help me preach. Then they knew God's supernatural power. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a God who is omnipotent. When they come to the Red Sea, what God did, the Bible said it, he just sniffed. And the waters lifted up. And they walked across on dry ground. I've got a God who's all powerful. A God can lift you through what you're going through. A God that's almighty. And we need to trust him. And we need to live for him. In these dark days. Then I want you to notice they knew God's supernatural provision. God rained down manna. Hey, some of you in the church right now, you're so scared that during this time you're going to be left out and you're not going to make it. And God won't supply your need. When the Bible said, my God shall supply all your needs. Now let me, by way of introduction, continue a little bit. Here's what's happened. First of all, the work of God had been diminished. Now listen to me. We're in tough times, but we cannot let up. We cannot stop. We need to stay with our mission given. We need to be faithful in our tithe. We need to do right. We cannot let this ministry slip one bit. Then I noticed the worship became deteriorated. Amen. I'll tell you what. I might as well just preach a little bit. I'm going to tell you what. I'm sick of this rock Jesus. This contemporary movement, all these bunch of people that come around and want our worship to be worldly worship, look like a world, act like a world. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything this old man's noticed in these last days, is a deterioration of our worship. And then they had worthless demonstrations. I've been thinking about this. You know what they done? They offered the blind for sacrifice. They offered moldy, polluted bread. And some of you said, I'm worried about paying the bills. I'm worried about the light bill. I tell you what you better be concerned about, and that is giving God your best. He will not be happy with us if we offer him anything less than our best. He will not be pleased with you if you hold your tithe, if you don't give your faith promise, if you don't give to the building fund. He will not be pleased. And that's what this crowd done. They gave less than their best. And then look what God says in verse 11. He said, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Now get what he's saying. Get what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen. He's telling Israel, I am going to take my hand off of you, and I am going to give it to the, put my hand on the Gentiles. The people that you call dogs, the people that you call the scum of the earth, I am going to take my hand off of you, Israel, and I'm going to put my hand on them. Here's what I want to preach. These are tough days. These are days where I believe we are so close to the coming of the Lord. I believe there's things happening that make me think that the trumpets are ready to be sound. And I want to preach on this thought. When God says goodbye, when God says goodbye, you know, preachers all have weird things they do. And I'm just like my preacher buddies. I've got some weird habits. I'm going to tell you one. Some of you are going to say, you're crazy. I enjoy walking through the cemeteries and reading gravestones. You say, you're crazy. I enjoy it. And I'll tell you my favorite one. I love this. It says, gone, but not forgotten. I want to tell you something. My daddy's in heaven, but I haven't forgot him. He may be gone, but he's still on my mind. My mama's in heaven. My friends are in heaven. But I want you to know, I haven't forgotten them. But listen to this. Could it be said about our stone today? Not gone and not be forgotten, but be forgotten and not gone. It would be a sad thing. You hear me? You hear me? That God takes his hand off of you and God says goodbye. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your power and losing your influence and just being somebody that doesn't count for anything and you're not accomplishing anything. That's what I'm talking about. God help us. I want to talk to our deacons, our pastors. The last thing Teays Valley Baptist Church wants is God to remove his hand of blessings from us. When God says goodbye, let me give you four things from this passage of scripture. That deals with God saying goodbye. Number one, in verse number two, the Bible said, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, but ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. Ladies and gentlemen, the source of the problem. Why would God take his hand off of us and put it on somebody else? They had a love problem. I want you to know something. I see it today. I see it in our congregation. I see it as I preach all over America. There's a lot of people just don't love God like they used to. There's a lot of people have lost their joy, lost their love for God. They've left it. They're a shell of what they used to be. You say, well, why should Israel love him anyway? I'll give you three reasons. They should love him. First of all, he gave them the scripture. I want everyone that's listening to me. We got this King James Bible, and it is basically Jewish. But every author except one was Jewish. He gave the Jews the scripture. He gave them the word of God. That's how much he loved them. He gave them God's breed book, his inspired book. Tell you what else he gave them. He gave them the Savior. You hear me out. Jesus was a Jew. He said, I came unto my own, and my own received me not, but as many received me, I gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that called on my name. They had a Jewish Savior. Oh, he loved them. And they had spiritual blessings. The Bible said through Abraham, the whole world is blessed. We've been blessed because of Abraham and God shining on the Jews. You might say this, well, yes, he loved the Jews. But how about me? Does he love me? Well, my Bible said he brought us to the banquet house, and his banner over me is love. I want you to know something, Christian. You listen to me. You listen to me good right now. Don't you dare question God's love. You might be saying, oh boy, why would God allow this virus? Why would God allow all this trouble? Why would God allow this chaos? God ain't allowing anything. We brought a lot of this junk on ourselves. But I'll tell you what God is doing. God loves you. He said, how can I know he loved me? Well, let me give you four or five ways. Why don't you just read the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find out he loves you. You'll read about an old rugged cross in all four gospels. Hey, you cannot look at the cross where Jesus died for the whole world and tell me that God does not love you. And then, you want to know how else I can say he loves me? He called me. Whoop! January 31st, 1973. God came to me, called me with a holy calling, drew me to himself. Oh, yes, I heard the voice of God. You know how else I know he loves me? He cares for me. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Ain't nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Ain't nobody ever loved me like Jesus. I'll tell you how else I know he loves me. He corrects me. Well, amen. The Bible said he chastens whom he loves. Now, I might as well just go straight with you right now. You better hear me out. If you're listening to me right now, and you say you're saved, and you're in sin, and you're living like a devil, and you're not being corrected, and you're not being chastised, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. You've never been bought by a price because God chastens who he loves. Somebody ought to praise him. And he claims me. Woo! Sometimes I don't lay much claim on him, but I want you to know he loves me. He loves me when I'm up, and he loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm in, and he loves me when I'm out. Woo! So the source of the problem was a love problem. But let's go down in our Bibles to verse 6 and verse 7. And I want you to notice the symptoms of the problem. If God is getting ready to remove his hand from your church, from your life, it is going to come, and you're going to know it's coming because of the symptoms of the problem. Let me show you the symptoms. Look what the Bible said in verse number 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. And if I be your father, where is mine honor? Number one, when I see people losing the power of God and the joy of God, they have a lack of honor. They don't honor God. Come on, help me. He said, I'll bless them that bless me and curse them that curse me. He said, well, how do I honor God? I'm glad you asked. You honor God by giving your first fruits. Now, I wonder how many of you outfit has been thinking about holding back on God and not seeing your tithe to your church and not going on your church online giving and supporting your church during this time. How many of y'all already, you've done got a lack of faith and turned your back on your church? Shame on you. And we honor God not only by giving our first fruits, but honoring the man of God. Amen. He deserves double honor. If you ever need to follow a man of God that has the goods today, it's today. A lack of honor. Their loyalty was horrible. You know, we got some people that brag about not being loyal to God, loyal to the church, loyal to the pastor. They're just not loyal. And then they have lackluster effort that is heinous. I want to tell you something. Woo! When I got saved, I want all y'all to know something. I got it all over. Man, I tell you, I could go on my Christian life and just tell you about how much I love Jesus. And I want you to know something. I love him all the way. I'm going to always give him my best. I remember, oh glory, I was saved at First Baptist Church of Pence. And let me kind of bring this chair over to make an illustration, if I can. I'll just illustrate. I remember when I first got saved, I sat on the front pew. You said, why were you there? Because I wanted to be in on the action. I wanted to be where God could bless me. And I wanted to hear if there's anything I could do. I remember being in church, and I was always on the edge of my seat. And I remember when Herman Haynes got up and he said, we need a deacon. One of our deacons died. I thought, well, hallelujah. I went to him. I'd been saved 2 weeks. I said, Herman, I'll be your deacon. He said, you haven't been saved long enough. I ain't like a lot of you. I didn't get mad at him. I just went ahead and served God. Came back the next week. And it seemed like that church was losing everybody. He got up and he said, we need a trustee. I thought, well, that's me. Because I trust me. And I got up, I said, Herman, I'll be your trustee. He said, do you own any property? I said, no, my car's co-signed by my dad. He said, you can't be a trustee. So I set myself back down. A couple of Sundays went by. I'm sitting there wanting to do something for God, wanting to give him my all. When I got saved, I wanted to sell out for God as much as I was sold out to the devil. He got up and he said, we got a Sunday school class downstairs, or a class we want to make a Sunday school. That is a mess. And we need somebody to volunteer to go down there and clean it up by Sunday so we can have the girls' primary class there. And I said to myself, okay, can't be no deacon, and I can't be a trustee, but dear God, surely they'll let me use a broom. And then I heard they had rats down there. And I got up and I said, Herman, I'll do it. And he said, good, John. I finally get to do something. I was so excited. I went downstairs and I want y'all to know something. They actually did have rats down there. And I did what all y'all do. I gave them decon and they gained weight on it. So I went and got me some State Road Rat Killer. Buddy, I want you to know, if you ever got any of that State Road Rat Killer, it'll kill them dead in their tracks. Them rats died with their eyes open. I'll tell you what happened. I got her all cleaned up, put all that trash bag and dead rats in my Mustang, and went down the road and went to the garbage dump and took them down there praising God. Came to church on Sunday morning to worship. Herman Haynes got up in the worship service and said, I want to thank John David Smith for cleaning the primary room. And we had three primary kids get saved by the grace of God today because of his efforts. And I said, whoopee! Hallelujah! Praise his name! Amen. I tell you what the problem is. Some of you done quit on God. As some of you, you're not serving him like you used to. As some of you just laid down on God. God help you. God help you. The church needs you right now more than it's ever needed you before. Where are you? Hey, we're in troublesome times. We want to keep up our mission giving. We want to keep up our frontline ministry, our homeless ministry. Where are you? And God ain't going to be blessed by half-hearted service. He wants all of you. He wants you sold out. Amen. Number three. I want you to look at verse number 11 again. Look at verse number 11 again. The Bible said, and from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. Well, glory and a pure offering for my name shall be among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Number three, not only the source of the problem, they had a love problem and the symptoms of the problem, but I want you to notice the seriousness of the problem. Here's what God said. God said, I'm going to take my hand off of you, and I'm going to put my hand on the Gentiles. I'm going to leave you right now temporarily, and I'm going to go save a Gentile church. Somebody help me. That's serious. I want you to know something. Where would Taze Valley Baptist Church be if God took his hand off his ministry? In 1988, many of you even remember where you were. Down in Cape Canaveral, they are having the blast off of the Shuttle Challenger. A school teacher was one of the astronauts, Christy McAuliffe. And it was piped into all the public schools. And The hopes of everybody was upon that shuttle. And the shuttle blasted off. And then 90 seconds later, it exploded before everybody. And we heard a voice from a man named Alan Nesmith. And here's what he said. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a major malfunction. I want you to know something. We've had a major malfunction. It's serious! I'll give you three areas. We've had a major malfunction in our Christian homes. We got some of you parents are more thrilled about your athletics for your kids than their spiritual life. And I'm not against athletics, I'm for it, but I tell you what, you better not put that before God in your kids' life. Amen. Our home's deteriorating. Where's our prayers with our kids? Where's our family altars? Where's us getting around God's word and saying how much we love God and tell our kids how important God is? Then there's been a major malfunction in the house of God. Oh, I know. I know some of you are going to call me old timey and out of date. Some of you are going to say, oh, Pastor Smith, he's not going with the times. You right there, Jack. I'm staying with God. I done made my mind up to live for God. I was told the other day that I ought to institute a contemporary service. And I looked at the person. He wasn't nobody in my church. If he'd been in my church, I'd have kicked him out. I said, I ain't instituting no contemporary service, no rock Jesus service. I'm on the rock, but I'm not having that junk. We're not compromising our music, and we're not compromising our Bible, and we're not going with contemporary Bibles. We're staying with the King James Bible. And I'll tell you what else has happened in our churches. We got some of our pencil neck preachers, I call them, little wimps, who's telling me we need to be Calvinist and hyper-Calvinist. You look me right in my eyeball and you run into this thing about 90 mile an hour. I don't have a Calvinistic bone in me. God so loved the whole world, and I want to tell you, he'll take his hand off of you. You don't believe in going soul winning. You don't believe in giving out gospel tracts. You don't even know for sure if you're saved forever, Calvinist. Amen. Wait a minute. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen, preacher. We've had a major malfunction in the home, the Christian home, the church house. And then we had a major malfunction in this country. I want to tell you something. I'll tell you what's happening to us right now. God's allowing this stuff to happen. God didn't send this virus, but he is allowing it to bring us to our knees. Yep. Everything's about to shut down. And I want you to know something. When it all shuts down, where are you going to be? When it all shuts down, where are you going to be standing? Yep. I'll tell you where I'm standing. Upon Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Oh, other ground is sinking sand. Oh, other ground is sinking sand. Lastly, and I'm done. The fourth point is the solution to the problem. If you read the book of Malachi, ladies and gentlemen, there's no solution. God done exactly what he said he was going to do, and he shut the lights out, and he turned his back on Israel, and they came to the Gentiles. God done what he said he'd do. I want you to know something. We had the song, The Judgment. One day, God's going to bring judgment. God's going to do what he said he'd do. You say, preacher, what's our hope? What's the solution? Where do I find it? Well, I'll tell you where you find it. We've seen the problem in the last chapter of the Old Testament, but we see the solution in the last chapter or last book of the New Testament. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Revelation chapter 2, and I want to show you something. Revelation chapter number 2, I want to show you this. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture, and I'm going to read it to you as we close this message. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 2. You turn in your Bible now. Find that. Find it. Don't you want a solution? Don't you want help? Don't you want God? Find it. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Look what he said about this church. He said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and had patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and have not fainted. Now I want you to know something. If I stop right there, they sound pretty good. They sound like the typical independent Baptist church. Working, separated, set apart for God. And if I stop right there, they look pretty good. But look at verse number 4 with me. Look what it said. Remember what the source of the problem was in Malachi? Nevertheless, I have someone against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, what was their problem? What was the people of Malachi's day problem? What was their problem? They had a love problem. I want all y'all to know this. I see it in our churches. There's a love problem. We're just not on fire for God like we used to be. We're just not in love with him like we used to be. And we left our first love. We didn't lose it. We left it. God still loves you. But where's your love? And what is the solution anyhow? Oh, look with me. Look at verse 5. There's three things I want to show you. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Hey, some of you know where you got off the boat. Some of you know when you lost your first love. Some of you know when you left God. You know where it happened. Remember. Oh, you had some church member look at you sideways. Oh, you had somebody who upset you and hurt you. And now you're not serving God. And you're mad at everybody. And you're so mad at people, you don't know what you're mad about now, but you're still mad. It ain't their fault. You're in the place you're in. You need to remember where you got off the boat. Then look what the Bible said in verse number 5. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen and repent. Repent! I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to walk off the stage, or maybe I can't. I don't know. I'm going to walk in the front. You know what, some of you, listen to me right now on this broadcast, on this TV program, by way of live stream. You need to make you an altar right there. And you need to repent and get right with God. Hey, there's some people that never says they're sorry, never repents. They're just wicked and backslid. We need to see ourselves the way we are. We left our first love. And repent. I want you to notice the rest of the verse, and I'm done. If you would. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Look at here. And do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Here's the order. Remember, repent, and then repeat. Hey, some of you that's listening to me today, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get back to God. You need to get back to serving God, paying your tithe, being faithful to church, going to soul winning, passing out tracts, supporting missionaries. We need to repeat. We need to do what's always worked in the past. We need to do it again. Church, I want to talk to you. The message is when God said goodbye, I want to talk to you. You want God to remove his hand from your family? You want him to remove his hand from this church? From the country? Would you just keep doing what you're doing and that's what's going to happen? Or would you rather have God's hand a blessing on you? And God blessing you and helping you and strengthening you and giving you everything you need. Would you rather have that? And then have his curse. By the way, he loves him that loves him, and he blesses him that blesses him, but he curses him that curse him. I want to talk to you that are unsaved. You know, you've never experienced the hand of God. You need to trust Christ right now. Realize you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Realize, even though you're a sinner, God commendeth his love toward us while we are yet sinners. Christ died for us. And the Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it makes it even simpler. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to talk to you, church. I wonder how many church members right now would just say this. I don't feel the power like I used to. I don't sense his presence like I used to. Why don't you get with your wife and your kids, make you an altar right now, and ask God to forgive you and restore your joy and restore your power and help you again when God says goodbye. Let me pray for you right now. Our Father, I want to pray for my church family during these troublesome, worrying times, that they'll stay strong, that they'll have their hand, your hand on them, and you'll take them through. And when it's all said and done, we'll be able to give you glory for what you've done. Thank you now, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.